Let's face facts. Running back is still the most important position in fantasy football. You going zero RB? You going hero RB? You going robust RB? Who's overrated? Where are the sleepers? Who are the backs we need that aren't starting right now that you need to draft? Who are the guys that are come out of nowhere? We need answers. I'm Scott Pianowski. Dalton's here. You need to dominate running back. Let's get to it. Welcome, everyone. Welcome. It is Wednesday, August 14th, and I'm Scott Pianowski. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast. I am sitting in for my friend Matt Harmon on today's pod, and here to help me sort everything out, my wingman, the unofficial TV critic of Yahoo, Mr. Dalton Del Don. D3, how's it going?
Going well, P&L. Long time no talk. What we got on the docket today? Some running backs. Most important position. Let's do this.
Yeah, long time no talk. We were here 24 hours ago with the quarterbacks, because of course it is not only fantasy draft season, this is position preview week on the podcast. We're trying to get you everything you need to know. Yesterday it was quarterbacks, today it's running backs, sleepers, busts, targets, strategies, roster builds. And Dalton, I still think, I know that most people are going to go heavy at other positions, maybe receiver, or, you know, the old school, some people are still going to go robust running back. We'll talk about that in a second. But even though my roster builds are going to be heavy on receiver, if a genie came out of the bottle and said, hey, P&L, I'll give you the right answers at one position, which one do you want? I would always say running back. It's the most volatile position. And even though what we need from maybe our running back twos, our running back threes, our flexes is less than it used to be, there's so many platoons now, I just feel like if you get the right running back, I'm not going to draft into them early. I'm going to acquire them in a balanced approach on draft day. But I still feel like this is the position that's the most critical. This is the one that I spend the most time trying to figure out.
Yeah, thinking back to Sammy Reed's thread comparing them to fantasy aces in baseball, the running back position is like pitchers. It's tough to they're the toughest to predict, but if you get it right, you're the most likely to win. So I'm with you there. And how we address this position is just so contingent on what league you're playing in. The best ball bros will go crazy with the receivers. Your home league, you may have to go after running back earlier. So yeah, a lot to talk about here. A lot of sleepers, a lot of deep guys to get into. And let's get to it, P&L.
Let's get to it. So before we actually get to those roster builds with running back, I just want to hit on what you're looking for in a running back. What metrics do you care about? What kind of usage is important to you? How much is the offensive coordinator important? Age pockets, you know, what they might have done in college, whether it's stat-based, it's tape-based. You can go anywhere you want with this. Just give us an idea. When Dalton Del Don is doing running back rankings or you're trying to figure out who to draft, what are some of the metrics or some of the indicators that matter to you?
Yeah, so a lot of the metrics, which I love to delve into and write about, the broken tackles missed and rush yards over expectation, a lot of them are descriptive and not necessarily predictive, because football is just different. Again, I'll make another baseball comparison, which is a series of all of one-on-one matchups. So the stats really tell the story there, whereas football, so many components, 22 players on the field, so a lot of context needs to be taken into place. And a player, you can look at their stat, a running back, you can look at their stats from the year before, and they might be in an entirely different situation this year. So yes, Tony Pollard's due for touchdown regression. He should have scored more last year in Dallas, but who knows if he's going to get even close to the red zone looks in Tennessee. So a lot to look at running backs, a lot of different stats, but I think context is super important, and what role that running back's going to have, no matter how fast they are, how talented they are. We don't want trap backs that are getting the touches in between the 20s. We want the backs that are getting the red zone touches and getting the targets. And as for college, I don't watch a ton of college, P&L, so I have a couple guys I really trust. Of course, you know, you look at the metrics and all the 40 times and whatnot, but I have certain people that I follow that watch college games that I trust. And even them, you know, they could be on the player, but they could end up in the wrong situation. So it's a lot to evaluate, but context is super important when looking at fantasy football running backs.
For sure. And one of the contextual pieces that's always going to be important to me is offensive line play. And much like we talk about like strength of schedule, I don't care 11 versus 13 versus 15 versus 19, all the stuff in the middle kind of gloms together. I'm looking for outliers. I want to know which offensive line is a road grader. You know, the Lions come to mind. The Jets might have a top five offensive line. And which offensive line is maybe a liability. And it's interesting. Some of the running backs we're going to take in the first or second round may be working behind substandard offensive lines. So we'll try to sort that out today. So we got to talk builds. We got to talk I think everybody should have a running back strategy entering the draft. I want it to be fluid. I want you to be ready to pounce on opportunities that present themselves. Every draft plan should be written in pencil. But the first thing I would ask any fantasy managers, what's your plan at running back? You're thinking robust RB. We're going to come out hot with a couple of running backs early. Maybe some people would even draft a third running back. I remember old school, some people might start running back, running back, running back. I think it's a little bit of a dead thing now. It's a dinosaur, but that's the robust RB. It's your most important position. You go get it early. Some people say, no, go zero RB. Don't take any running backs in the first four, five, six rounds. Take them later, stockpile. The league is chaotic. It's a position that has so much attrition. You're going to benefit from the chaos and the entropy. And a tenet of zero RB, which I think is really a tenet of every roster build, is that you're going to get all these running backs in the second half of your roster. I think anybody in any of these formulas is going to use that. So I reject that that only belongs to zero RB. But anyway, it's the opposite of robust. One guy's coming out early with running backs, coming out hot. One guy's saying, no, I'll get to it when I get to it. And then there's the compromise, which is hero RB or anchor RB, where you get one guy you hang your hat on, first round pick, a second round pick, a third round pick. It could be McCaffrey, Bijan Robinson, Breece Hall would look good in the first round, but it could be Derrick Henry. It could maybe even be like an Isaiah Pacheco. Otherwise, you're building your other positions, and then you basically take all the tenets of zero RB. You're looking for those high upside backs, but you're going to take one. You don't want to be completely left out of the bell cows. There aren't that many of them. Try to get one. So which of the three do you think works best for your running back build, your running back room in 2024? Are you a hero guy? Are you an anchor guy, a hero anchor guy? Are you a robust guy? Or are you a zero RB drafter?
I've been flexible here. My answer to you is it just completely depends on where I'm drafting this year. So I get an early pick. I actually am willing to take Breece Hall. If Derrick Henry and Achan, my guy, fall back to me round two or three, I will take two backs. Conversely, if I get a later pick, pick 10, you know, I get A.J. Brown or Garrett Wilson. I don't love Gibbs, Jonathan Taylor. I'm kind of avoiding Barkley and Kyren Williams. So I'll come back with a receiver and maybe four straight receivers to the back of a draft I could see, because it's better to be behind in running back than it is receiver. I love the pocket of running backs in round 6 through 10 a lot more than I do receiver. So I think it's fine to wait at the position and then load up on the Brian Robinsons, Javonte Williams, David Montgomery, Jonathan Brooks. I mean, I could really go on and on and on in that tier there. But having said that, I'm cool with going Breece Hall and Derrick Henry or Achan and then attacking the wide receiver position, because there are about seven running backs I consider in my tier one, and I'd love to come away with one of them, P&L, but I'm also not opposed to. I'm going to try to even come away with two in a few leagues and see where that goes. But I'd love one of my top seven running backs and then attack wide receiver, but it's going to really depend on where I pick in my draft.
Yeah, you hit on so many key themes there that I agree with. It sounds like we're both leaning towards the hero approach, but you want to be open-minded if your league, if your draft presents opportunities. And I just think that after seven sounds like about the right number. I would be okay with Jonathan Taylor as my first back too. I didn't mention him when I spoke earlier, but I like the hero approach. I think it works well, but like I say it all the time, any draft strategy will work if you pick the right players. And you need a little luck at running back. You need some injury luck. You might need some touchdown luck in some cases. And it's not as hard. It's not as easy. It's funny. I go back and forth on this where, again, there's more platoons. It used to be the running back by committee was two running backs. Now it's more, I think of a committee as a three running back team. I think most teams have two backs that they care about. So it's, to me, when I see a backfield that's only split in half for the most part, I can live with that. You know, that means both players will probably be fantasy viable. It's when three backs have potential touches that I get nervous. But then somebody might say, well, that's where the profit is. When it's a backfield is nebulous, that means we have more of room for profit when we find the right guy. And we're going to go to some of those nebulous backfields later on this show. So let's give the people, you know, we're both, I guess, leaning towards hero RB. We're not locked into that. I may be maybe stronger in the hero RB camp than you are, but who are these hero running backs? Let's talk about, and maybe not all of these guys technically would be your hero, but top 12 running backs on the board. We'll just give everybody a taste of how we feel about these guys. Christian McCaffrey, a little bit dinged up. He's obviously fantasy royalty. He's been the best player in fantasy in two different seasons, outscoring everybody by value-based drafting methods where you figure out how much better you are than the baseline player. He's had a couple other seasons in the top three. When McCaffrey's healthy, he's the cheat code. He's a little bit dinged up right now. I don't think it's a great offensive line. I still have him ranked as my 101. I think everybody at Yahoo does right now. What's your, you know the Niners better than anybody. What's the current take on CMC?
boy, what a brutal preseason so far for San Francisco injuries. They had to cancel a joint practice with the Saints this week because too many bodies were going down. I mean, it's been a rough one so far. McCaffrey, I have not moved off my number one spot. He says he could play in a game today if needed, so it does sound precautionary. You know, you don't love to hear the calf injury, and he's dealt with those before, coming off a 417-touch season or whatever it was, counting the playoffs. But I've left him as my RB1, but I just love Breece Hall this year. And I'm actually closer to moving Hall to number one than I am number three. And then who's going to argue against Bijan? So I think just there's that big three for me. People could argue Taylor Gibbs, and then it really gets, you know, a little bit more wide open. So that's why a lot of people in full PPR are going to take the receiver no matter what. But to me, you get McCaffrey, Hall, or Robinson, I'm okay with taking them over a Chase or Jefferson when many people would not be.
Yeah, I think I am too. And even these receivers, I mean, I think Lamb will be fine, but he's held out all summer, and I think he'll eventually make peace with the Cowboys, but what shape is he in? And Chase, your Burrow comes with concern.
Chase is holding in too. No one talks about that. Chase is holding in, and Jefferson has Darnold now. I mean,
Burrow, right. Yeah, Burrow is somebody that's hard to know if he's going to play a full season. There's chaos in Minnesota with McCarthy's out indefinitely, which means any Jefferson pick is making a long-term relationship with Sam Darnold. I know Kevin O'Connell is a wizard, but still that makes you a little bit nervous. So Hall and Robinson, here's the bottom line with me on those guys. Dalton, at the end of draft season, when we're comparing notes, comparing rosters, I'm writing the what's in my wallet piece, I hope I have a fair amount of shares of these guys because they're young backs. They're on the escalator. They haven't had their best season yet. The Jets, I don't know what Aaron Rodgers is anymore, but I think the Jets from 2 to 53 might have the best roster in football. They've upgraded the offensive line. Hall is now another year removed from a major injury. He looked like a difference maker last year. And all we need with Robinson, right, is adults in the room, like Kirk Cousins, like offensive coordinator Zach Robinson. You know, they upgrade a quarterback in Atlanta. They get a coordinator we're excited about. And I mentioned Zach Robinson yesterday, I think, as being part of the Shanahan tree. Shanahan's actually kind of a stepfather in his tree. He's part of the McVay tree. And, of course, McVay is part of the Shanahan tree. So I misspoke when I said that. But I'm excited to see what Zach Robinson can do. And the Falcons have such an easy schedule. Overwhelmingly, again, on that Warren Sharp grid, they're the outlier on the schedule, whatever strength the schedule means to you. So I've said a lot. I think we're pretty much in on Hall and Robinson. Anything you want to add on those two guys?
I will hype Hall just a little bit more. Averaged the third most half PPR points from week five on last year. That's when he finally started seeing full snaps returning from ACL surgery. And he had just 3.3 expected rushing touchdowns all season, just one carry inside the 5-yard line. Now he has Aaron Rodgers, a greatly improved offensive line. Mike Clay puts out these crazy long projections of everything. He has the Jets as the number one roster overall, accounting for all positions ahead of the Niners and Chiefs. I mean, if their offense of line is good with that defense, this could be a problem for the rest of the league if Rodgers is healthy. Breece Hall leads all running backs in yards per carry after contact and yards per out run since entering the league, and he dealt with a serious knee injury. So I have no problem if you want to take Breece Hall number one overall in your
I don't either. And producer Colin says, is it crazy to take Bijan 101? I don't think so. I think what we're going to see with McCaffrey being in the middle of his career, maybe even on the back nine, I mean, he's how many more years is he going to play, right? You want to be a year early rather than a year late. The Niners may not have a great offensive line. And I want to ask you one more thing about McCaffrey. Talk about running back insurance. Some people might say handcuff. We generally don't use that word over here at Yahoo. But do you think if you draft McCaffrey, is it important to get his quote-unquote backup? Do we even know who he is? That's one of the reasons why I'm generally not an insurance guy at running backs. I want to take somebody else's understudies and not necessarily my own. Do you think it's important to get insurance behind McCaffrey, or what's your stance on the contingency backup at running back at the position? Some people think it's important. Some people blow it off. Where do you come down on that?
One final fun Breece Hall stat before I talk about CMC. Hall averaged the most fantasy points last year and the second most weighted opportunities when they were leading. The Jets are favored in 14 of 17 games this year. I mean, just be such a better setup.
The Jets, I can't believe I'm saying this. If you told me Aaron Rodgers is league average, I'm like, the Jets are going to go 12-5.
Yeah, I think I'm going to pick him to win the division.
Me too.
So Elijah Mitchell's,
Elijah Mitchell, whatever. Let them be good. I don't care. They've been bad long enough.
Elijah Mitchell entered as the favorite to be the backup for McCaffrey, but he's just constantly hurt, just consistently. Even Shanahan has admitted that Jordan Mason has passed him on the depth chart. Mason is a yards after contact monster. He's not super fast, but he's averaged 5.6 yards per carry over two seasons. He got 100% of the Niners snaps during the team's preseason opening drive. Finished it with a touchdown run and then exited with the starters. They drafted rookie Isaac Guerrero. He's a non-factor after suffering a severe hamstring pull. I think Mason should be drafted in all leagues. We pointed out the CMC risk factor coming off 400 touches, his age, already dealing with an injury. I'm coming out with an article on Wednesday with undrafted players and running backs in Yahoo leagues who could be real fantasy difference makers. And Jordan Mason highlights that list.
A critical list to know. And it's so important to realize that running back, more than any other position for value, it's about getting roles and getting touches, and true skill level may not matter. I realize Puka Nacua happened last year, but the odds of a receiver coming out of nowhere and being like a top 10, top 15 receiver are so microscopically thin. But there will be a handful of running backs every year who nobody has much of an opinion on in the summer who come into, for example, when any major running back gets hurt, somebody's going to have double-digit touch up equity the next week. If Tyreek Hill gets hurt for the Dolphins, it's not like, oh, great. Well, whoever steps up next is going to, you know, get 80% of Tyreek Hill's stuff. It doesn't work that way. So knowing every running back on a roster, even the threes and the fours, I mean, that can have fantasy value down the line. Jonathan Taylor is the consensus running back four right now. Shane Steichen, we like. Anthony Richardson will take off some of the rushing production, but Taylor was looking pretty good at the end of last year. How are you feeling about JT these days?
I'm lukewarm, but I like Taylor. I moved him ahead of Gibbs, especially after Gibbs suffered the hamstring injury. Gibbs basically got the same amount of opportunities as Achan last year when Montgomery was healthy. Another point for my Achan factor. You just get the same Gibbs, minus maybe a little bit more durability risk there. But I have Taylor as my RB four behind the big three. I'm cool if you want to take him in the 1-2 turn there back into the first round. He was an absolute star when healthy in this league. The targets are going to be limited given the Richardson offense, and Richardson, you know, he could rush for a lot of touchdowns this year. But you know, top five offensive line in football. Colts had top five plays per game last year with Richardson. So good pace indoors. If Taylor's healthy, one of the three, four best backs in the league, so I'm okay with him.
See a wheel pick for you? Where do you come down on when to take him?
That's exactly it. Yes, if you want to take him, he's a wheel pick for me. But and I like him definitely over Barkley or Kyren Williams. I will have that take. I do like him more than those two.
So at the time I put together the script, Gibbs was running back five, Henry running back six, Barkley running back seven, and I'll lump these guys together. I was kind of out on Gibbs anyway, but now it sounds like he has a hamstring injury. He had an earlier soft tissue injury this summer. And I never know week to week. Is he getting the goal line touches? Is he getting the most touches in his backfield? And if you're looking for an explosive playmaker who has some of those touch concerns, as you said, why not just take Achan later, who offers the same type of profile, but you get him around cheaper? So I'm basically out on Gibbs. I don't know what to do with Barkley. I know people say, well, the Giants setup was horrible. The offensive line was crummy, but I don't know. The Eagles offensive line probably takes a step back without Kelsey. And whenever they get near the goal line, you always know Hurts is a factor. Barkley's receiving stats lately have been more about volume, no efficiency, no explosiveness in the passing game. I think he's definitely a back nine player. So I've been passing on Gibbs, passing on Barkley. I know Derrick Henry's late in his career, and I know the Ravens don't have a great offensive line. They let a couple of guys go. Maybe they can coach some people up. Obviously, Lamar Jackson's elusiveness is almost like a member of the offensive line too, because teams have to account for that. But if they could steer Gus Edwards, I know that everybody said this, but I'll say it too. If they could steer Gus Edwards in the end zone 13 times, you know, from inside the five, basically, and probably us just about all of those touchdowns, I mean, Derrick Henry's going to have like 16 to 20 touchdown upside. I know he's not going to catch a lot of passes, and it's late in his career. He's taken a million hits, and he's led the league in carry so many times. But when I'm looking at Gibbs, Henry, and Barkley, I'm saying Gibbs, red light, Henry, green light, Barkley, red light. How do you feel about these guys?
In half PPR leagues, I actually have Henry ranked ahead of Saquon Barkley. That is definitely against consensus. Barkley's broken tackle percentage, nice, was sixth worst in the league last year. He's finished second to last in EPA per target each of the last two seasons. His receiving game has really declined. I know his situation will improve greatly going to Philly's offensive line, although they lost Jason Kelce and Hurts may take a bunch of those short rushing scores. I just think it's better to be in a year too early than a year too late with Barkley there. I think that's a risky first round pick. Now, admittedly, Henry is risky himself at his age and his, you know, career mileage, although the workload was not heavy his first couple years in the league, but he was still pretty good. The numbers really were masked by a poor offensive line in Tennessee, and Henry's snap share was reduced to 53% last season, yet he still led the league in carries for the fourth time in 5 years. I mean, now he goes to Baltimore. He's averaged almost twice as many half-point PPR fantasy points during wins throughout his career, and no team led more than the Ravens last season. I mean, his numbers are just so much better when his team's in a position to win the game, and now he's in a Baltimore team with Lamar Jackson creating a ton of holes. So I'm in on him. I know there's questions at offensive line, and he won't catch many passes either, but give me Henry joining the Ravens. Maybe it does seem almost too obvious, and everyone's in on him, though. I do have some concern, which is obviously not analytical.
So Kyren Williams and Isaiah Pacheco, the next two backs in consensus ADP. Williams is at 8, Pacheco's at 9. And I was facing a choice of both of these guys in the recent Fantasy Football Expo, and I went with Pacheco. I just felt better about his offense, better about his percentage of the role of the offense. Obviously, the Rams drafted Blake Corum. Williams is just so much of an out-of-nowhere guy, too. I realize that's Pacheco as well. He wasn't drafted early, but I like the trend of Pacheco. He scored 7 touchdowns his last 8 games, including the playoffs last year. His receiving role went up. So I don't think – last I remember, I don't think you're a big Williams guy. Do you think it's crazy to take Pacheco over him? How do you want to shake out these two running backs in the middle of the country?
Not crazy at all. Have them ranked back to back. I'm down on Kyren Williams. Been telling people to avoid him. That could backfire on me. The Rams offensive line is good. This team led the NFL in yards per play when healthy last season. McVay loves Kyren Williams. If he can somehow stay healthy, I get it. Kyren could be top 3 back, even if he's not a great receiver. He actually quietly struggles as a receiver and only saw 3 targets over the final 3 games last year, including the playoffs. But biggest concern with Williams, everyone knows, it's health. I mean, a high ankle sprain in 2022 and a Jones fracture, then a hip contusion, then another high ankle sprain and a broken hand in the playoffs last year. That required surgery and would have made him miss another month, but people don't, you know, I factor that on because the Rams season ended. Then in OTAs this spring, he's dealing with a foot issue. 5'9", 194 pounds. He's missed 35% of his game since being drafted. Blake Corum is impressing. He could cut into his touches. So that's why we're making important decisions here. You know, first round, second round. If Kyren Williams falls to your third round, I get it. But, you know, if you're making that decision at the wheel against with someone like, you know, Jonathan Taylor, it's easy Taylor for me. And I have no problem with Pacheco over him as well. My one concern there, love the increased work as a receiver without McKinnon. But last year, 205 carries was his career high. He never had more than 170, even dating back to college. So I hope he can hold up. But yeah, feature back getting targets from Mahomes. You easily see the path for Pacheco to be a top 5 fantasy back if he holds up.
Just one more thing about Williams. Some people think that if you were to always fade a player who comes out of nowhere and then carries an expectant ADP the next year, you probably wouldn't be wrong that often. And I think maybe that school of thought applies to Williams. So Travis Etienne.
It's a great point. He was picked up on drafts on fantasy waiver wires, and now he's a top 15 pick. It's a great point, Pino.
For sure. So Travis Etienne reminds me, running back 10 right now, Jacksonville. His story is a little bit like Trevor Lawrence in that he comes in as a first-round pick. Now, Lawrence was the first overall pick. But big things are expected, and he's been okay. He hasn't been great. His workload at times, he's been the only show in town. Bigsby was a little bit disappointing last year. He's shown a little bit more this summer, although he did look good in his first summer. I don't know. Etienne is just, I can't bury him in my rankings, but every time he's the logical guy to pick, I'm taking a receiver. I'm not going to have a lot of Etienne this year. I'm not even sure I have a strong reason why. I do like Trevor Lawrence. Lawrence, by the way, will quietly run for like 400 yards and maybe 4 to 6 touchdowns. I think he's actually a really good value quarterback, and Kate Majuk likes him as a sleeper this year, and nice to be lined up with Kate on a football opinion. But Etienne is just kind of a meh player for me entering this juncture of his career. What's your stance on Etienne these days?
I completely agree here. This is not the year to go after Etienne, in my opinion. He was the number 3 fantasy back over weeks 1 through 9, RB 23 over weeks 10 through 18, when he just, the Jacksonville reduced his workload after the bye. There's been talk throughout summer about the Jags doing the same. I know Tank Bigsby may not be the answer, but the teams can find someone else. Etienne is due for regression. He scored twice as many touchdowns last year, despite seeing fewer red zone carries compared to 2022. The Jacksonville has produced the third fewest RB expected fantasy points of the last two seasons. Press Taylor's a problem at offensive coordinator. Pienaar, I think Kenneth Walker and James Conner can have better fantasy seasons this year, and you can get them rounds later.
Fascinating. I'm going to piggyback on that in just 1 second. Two more running backs in our top 12, Devin Achane. We talked about him briefly, similar to Gibbs, but a round later. And then Josh Jacobs changing teams, how much tread left on the tires, but Green Bay generally a really good offense. I think Matt LaFleur is one of the more underrated great offensive coordinators in the league. Talk to me about Achane. Talk to me about Jacobs.
Achane, obviously a huge injury risk. He did bulk up during the offseason, and this guy averaged 115 yards from scrimmage when playing 40% of the snaps. Achane had as many top five weekly finishes as Bijan Robinson, Jonathan Taylor, and Derrick Henry combined last year. So, I mean, even if he misses a month, like, is there a player more likely to help you win your fantasy week that week when he's out there? Mostert's 32 years old. 32. And we can get Jalen Wright later for some insurance there, too. The Dolphins running backs produced 50 more fantasy points than any other running back room since 2020 last year. You love this system. I'm the guy, the sucker, who's just swinging for the fences with Achane. If you can get him in round three, I just think it's worth that risk, hands down. I'm willing to in round two in some drafts, but I get that there is obviously significant risk for a back that size, that small of a sample, and he's not even the starter on his own team. But boy, man, he just the highest yards per carry of all time. And if he can get to 250 touches, I mean, he's gonna really help you win your fantasy league.
Yeah, and you're always swinging for upside. Anthony Richardson is your favorite quarterback, and Achane, as producer Colin points out, has a lot of that same DNA as a running back pick. So we just have a minute or two before we get to our first break. People talk about the running back dead zone, and I don't think the top 12 means dead zone, but for you, how do you define the running back dead zone, and just give people a quick cautionary tale about how shopping in the dead zone can be kind of dangerous?
Yeah, I was at rounds 2 through 10. Some leagues, they start right away, but yeah, I would say just back, like I said, the trap touches, they're in between the 20s, not looking at the red zone, not getting the targets. Zamir White is just the poster running back right now in a bad offense, small sample, low pedigree, benefited from an amazing schedule down the stretch last year. Ostensibly the only game in town. I mean, who else? Dylan Laube, you know, to get to. So, but Zamir White to me is just like the definition of a red zone running back to avoid this year.
It's our first piece of the all-important running back primer. I'm Scott Pienowski talking to Dalton Daldon, my main man. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, where is ADP wrong at running back? Who does Dalton like more than consensus? Who does he like less than consensus? We'll get to that next. All right, Dalton, the market gets things wrong. You're trying to help us out. You've published a lot of really good market review pieces, and some of this is going to be review of backs. We don't need to go into them. You like Breece Hall a little bit more than the market. Derrick Henry, Achane, James Conner, you mentioned briefly in the previous segment. Tajay Spears, Tennessee backfield. I don't know who Pollard is these days. I don't know how stable their offense is. Obviously, Hopkins is hurt. Young quarterback there. New coaching staff. That's a team I've kind of been hands-off on. But you like – right now, Spears is the – last I saw, Dalton running back 25. The market has him 7 picks later. Give us your elevator pitch for Spears.
Yeah, I get the downside here, sharing touches with Pollard on an offense. This team could be one of the worst in the league, no question about it. But if Pollard's going ahead of Spears in drafts, I'm all about getting Spears later. He's the only running back to force 25-plus tackles on fewer than 100 carries last season. He ranked third among all running backs in first-read targets. And as a rookie, a running back, I mean, this guy has receiving upside. He had the fourth most scrimmage yards his final year in college. I mean, this guy put up big numbers. He had more average more yards after contact than Bijan Robinson in college. And Tony Pollard last year, I mean, how is he the RB22 despite seeing the second most red zone touches? This guy saw 72 red zone touches behind an awesome offensive line in Dallas. I know he was coming back from tightrope surgery, and he did definitely look better in the second half, and he maybe will show some more explosion this year. But going from a Dallas offense to Tennessee And now there's competition who's a better player. Spears had more targets and 24% more receiving yards while running 75 fewer routes than Pollard. And now Derrick Henry is gone in Tennessee. There's some concern about Spears having a long NFL career. He might be missing an ACL. But boy, I think he's a much better bet than Pollard this season. And his ADP is behind him in some leagues.
A couple of running backs I like more than market. We talked about Derrick Henry in the previous segment. And Devin Singletary, I don't know that there's great talent behind him. I know Tracy had a really good preseason game. It sounds like he's hurt now. It may be a serious injury. I remember Singletary has the background with Brian Daboll, so there's that goodwill built up. And when he took over the Houston backfield middle of the year, he was running back 9 for the final 2 months. So I think Singletary's not a league winner by any means, and maybe the Giants' offensive line will hold him down. But I think the touch share is very safe. You draft him as a running back 3, he should at least meet that. Maybe he's a running back 2. I haven't seen you talk much about Singletary, and maybe I'm just trying to validate some of my early picks. Is he green light, yellow light, red light? Do you have a take on Singletary?
I was going to say yellow because of Tracy, kind of impressing, mm-hmm. but with him out of the way now, unfortunately, more green light. I'm good with Singletary there. If you watched the Hard Knocks offseason, it kind of felt like they were just, here's our Barkley replacement. You know, I mean, they were happy with him being their feature guy. He flashed at times last year. Now you just have Eric Gray behind him on the depth chart. We know Malik Nabers is going to make that offense hum. So I'm good with Singletary. He's a very boring guy who's going to get all the touches available. I mean, not even dead zone. He gets available almost after that. I mean, he's not going to cost you a pick worth. He's going in the ninth round in most leagues.
I think you make a great point that he's post dead zone for me, which, you know, maybe it's just I'm trying to duck the label, but it makes me feel a little bit better. Some of the running backs that Dalton likes less than the market. Again, we talked about a lot of these in the top 12 segment, so we don't need to revisit Barkley, Williams, ETN. Again, Dalton is ranking these guys less bullish than the market. Not big differences in some cases, but enough to avoid drafting them. Then we get to DeAndre Swift. You have him at running back 32 last we checked. The market has him 8 picks higher. Chicago's a buzzy team. New quarterback, rookie receiver, all sorts of talent, skill talent here. It's also other running backs. I'm not sure that DeAndre Swift is ever going to be anything more than the head of a committee. Talk to us why he's one of your fades.
I mean, he's going to a much worse offensive line. You looked at his underlying stats last year. They were not good. I mean, I don't want to bore you with all the nerd stats, but he struggled as a receiver and in short yardage situations as well. Meanwhile, Khalil Herbert, I wanted to hype him throughout summer, but he looked like a risk of getting cut. I know he could end up Dallas starting running back, but boy, that was an eye-opening game two in the preseason. I mean, he dominated the touches with the first team offense. Yes, Swift had a nice 42-yard catch. Swift is a favorite to enter the season as a starter after that big contract. No question, he was paid like a starter. But Herbert has averaged 95 rushing yards over 11 career games where he's given just 12 carries. I mean, look at the broken tackles, the rush yards over expectation. This guy is good. He has his inefficiencies as a pass protection and maybe as a receiver, but he's clearly a better ball carrier than Swift. This offense in Chicago has upside too. So I just think Swift may lose his job outright or suffer injuries like he's had in the past. Give me Herbert a few rounds later, 8 days a week.
You teased this a little bit earlier. You're not a Zamir White guy. We saw the Raiders change their identity under the new coaching staff last year. Josh McDaniels out. Let's focus on defense. Let's run the ball. White had a nice run at the end of the season, was probably useful to some fantasy playoff teams, but one of the worst quarterback rooms in the league. It could be a sketchy offense. The market has pushed Zamir White up to running back 22 last I checked. You have him about 6 slots lower on your running back board. Give us the con case for Zamir White.
Yeah, White is a 4th-round pick who hasn't reached 175 carries since he was a sophomore in high school. He totaled 17 receptions in college. He played just 8 third downs all of last season. He's shaky in pass protection. When he did do well last season, and he outplayed Jacobs in the same situation, to be clear, but his 4 starts came all against run defenses that ranked 21st or worse in run defense DVOA. Las Vegas is projected to score the 6th fewest points, win just 6.5 games this year. Luke Getsy, their offensive coordinator, was just fired by the Bears. I just don't love a 2-down back with a small track record, low pedigree on a team with a shaky quarterback situation. So no thanks. I mean, give me Brian Robinson over him.
I may be a little bit more open-minded to White than you are, only because Antonio Pierce wants this identity of this team to be physical football, defense first, run the ball first. And I think the Raiders will be a team that even when they fall behind, they'll still run the ball. a lot of teams like, oh, we're behind 10 points. We're going to junk the running game. I think the Raiders are going to, it's going to be one of these, why are they still running the ball? The game's getting away from them in the third quarter. And Pierce will be like, no, no. In fact, Antonio Pierce, I shouldn't even say this, but he strikes me as a guy who probably thinks like, oh, when we run the ball 30 times, we win. A stat that is usually more of a result of winning than the actual thing that causes the winning. But so I think that maybe the market share, plus Madison is not a good player. I'm not worried at all about Madison taking over. Maybe there's an underserved asset on this offense that's going to push White. But I think there's so little competition that I'm more open to White than you are, but he's certainly not a green light for me. I would need him to come down from that running back 22 that he currently holds in the marketplace. That's too much for me. Guys, I'm fading. We talked about Gibbs earlier. Not everybody agrees on Alvin Kamara. Andy Behrens, our esteemed colleague, wrote some pro-Kamara stuff recently. And you read that, obviously, on Yahoo Sports. Kamara didn't have a single 20-yard run last year. His fantasy season was good because he got a lot of dump offs from Derek Carr. Maybe he'll keep those. But his all of his efficiency stats, all the splash stats are bad for Kamara. He's age 29 season coming. He's only scored 10 touchdowns in his last 28 games. They do not give him the chippies. They find reasons to get Taysom Hill, for crying out loud, touchdowns. They don't steer the easy ones to Kamara. I think he's a classic case. Be a year early, not a year late. I think he's a very dangerous pick. Entering that age 29 season, what is your Kamara stance?
Very boringly, I have him right at ECR. On one hand, I saw all those targets last year when he did return. I think he was a top five back on a per game basis. And Kendre Miller, you know, continues to be sidelined with this hamstring injury. Man, I want him to be a thing. And obviously, Dennis Allen is like, you know, threatening to cut him. So on the other hand, Kamara is washed as a runner. Their offense, New Orleans took a major step back in offensive line. I'm not going to draft him on any of my teams. I'll put it that way. I have him ranked with round consensus, but I'm with you over Andy Behrens here and will not be drafting a running back showing those signs of decline at that age.
Okay, sound of the gavel, Behrens. It's 2-1, Yahooligans against Kamara. You are wrong. I demand you take that piece off the website in the next 24 hours. You'll be hearing from my legal team. And with Kendre Miller, my rule of summer quotes, fluff pieces, all right? I always say, when they say something nice, take it with a grain of salt. When they say something negative, take it to the bank. And all they've been saying in New Orleans is negative things about Kendre Miller. And I don't mean that. I'm kind of smiling here. I take no joy in that. I would like every player to reach their theoretical upside, but he can't stay on the field. You can't make the club from the tub, right? I've significant. We did this show a month ago. Dalton, he would have been one of my target players. And now I've had to totally walk that back.
Agreed. Yeah, I know. There's been nothing positive. He's still not back on the field. No timeline. And yeah, we're looking at Jamal Williams is the other guy there. So yeah, I'd love to see Kendre Miller get healthy and see what he can do. But yeah, unfortunately, it's not happened yet.
The wisdom of Dalton Del Don, who's joining us on the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast today. I'm Scott Pianowski, sitting in as host for Matt Harmon. Position week. And if you're liking what you're hearing, if you enjoyed the quarterback show yesterday, if you're enjoying the running back show today, of course, receivers and tight ends to come, how about doing us a favor and giving us a rating and review? It helps other people discover the podcast and it just keeps us chugging along. So if you're a fan of the podcast, you know, Matt Harmon's doing such a great job with the show. It's basically his shop. You know, why not do Matt a solid, do all of us a solid and get a rating and review out there and help other people join in on the fun. So Dalton, nebulous backfields. Who's the starter? Is it this guy? Is it that guy? Either or backfields. We talked a little bit about Spears or Pollard, so I don't think we need to go there. How about the Cincinnati situation? Zach Moss, Chase Brown. Brown has had, I guess, a pretty good camp, but he doesn't have particularly good efficiency numbers. The first preseason game, Moss was sick. He didn't play. Brown didn't go anywhere on 5 carries, only 10 yards. I think this recent trend where there's been some puff pieces with Brown, I think Moss is more likely to get the goal line equity. I don't think Brown is. I know he had that long touchdown catch last year that we keep showing. Who wouldn't have scored in that play? I realized Brown was getting some pretty good speed going, but I think Brown's kind of a misleading player. I think he's a false window here. I think Zach Moss is actually a nice value. Do you see anything you like in the Cincinnati backfield?
This is so tough. You want a back to emerge here, and this Bengals offense could be a fantasy difference maker. As you said, you saw Chase Brown take that long pass to the house last year, but he also finished dead last among 77 qualifying running backs in success rate. Missed a big hole in that preseason game. Zach Moss, yes, he flashed last year, but then he struggled down the stretch. And I think it's going to be a committee, and it's going to be frustrating. And I have them ranked back to back, and neither are targets of mine. Is my boring answer?
Fair enough. Can I interest you in a Seattle running back, Kenneth Walker, Zach Charbonnet, both young running backs, is finally Pete Carroll was a good coach, but this was a team that needed fresh paint in the coaching staff. Obviously, a new offensive coordinator in Chris Grubb, who's doing great things at Washington. You feeling Walker? You feeling Charbonnet? You feeling the Seattle offense in general?
I'm feeling canine a lot here. Uncertain with the new coaching staff coming in. Who knows with Kenneth Walker's profile being so boom bust and Charbonnet, you know, no ties to the new regime. But boy, all of they've been doing is gushing about Walker's ability, including as a receiver. You look at his underlying metrics last year. He's kind of okay as a receiver. They improved their offensive line. Bring in Ryan Grubb. The Seahawks had the fewest plays last year due to crazy third down, just silliness, both on defense and offense. That was going to regress. Now they have this offensive coordinator that's way more aggressive. I believe they led the league in plays the first preseason game. So I'm all in. JSN's going to be better. Year two, healthier. Geno's a sleeper. Give me Kenneth Walker. I've moved up to my RB13. I have him as my RB13. I would take Kenneth Walker ahead of Josh Jacobs and Rashad White and Joe Mixon, those guys. But maybe I'm crazy, but that's where I'm leaning right now. I could even see him over ETN.
I love it, which means if you have that bullish of a ranking, you're probably going to get Walker in a lot of leagues. And yes, Ryan Grubb from UW. It's not Chris Grubb. It's Ryan Grubb. Who's got some real, I mean, what a fun Washington offense last year, right? I mean, you know, with Phoenix having a big season, Dunsay and everything, I'm just really excited to see what the Seahawks might be able to do. Got to get to the Cowboys. Producer Colin, big Cowboy fan, he's offered some notes on this. Zeke Elliott, the boring veteran. Rico Dowdle, the younger player with more explosion. I'm thinking that maybe Zeke might frustrate people and fall in the end zone 9 to 11 times, but Dowdle's going to have more efficiency. It could be, on a general sense, similar to what we saw 2 years ago, where everybody's like, Zeke's done, he's cooked. Look how good Pollard is. Why don't they use Pollard more? Now, both players, I think, scored 12 touchdowns that year. I don't think that's going to happen this year. The Cowboys' offensive line isn't as good. Collins' notes are all pushing us to Dowdle. He thinks he's going to be one of the best fantasy values of the season. Dalton, how you seeing the Dallas backfield?
I would go Dowdle over Elliott. It does look like the beat reporters are saying if Zeke's a starter, it's starter by name. Dowdle's been more impressive. I go with the unknown more than what we know of Zeke at this stage of his career. But similar to the Bengals, you know, a situation that could be great if someone emerged and was a good player, but it's probably going to delve into a frustrating situation between two non-explosive backs. What a weird situation, Dallas. I mean, they're loaded at defensive line. Their secondary is going to be healthier. They have these stars at the, you know, at the skill positions, but are they going to pay Dak? Are they even going to pay Lamb? And now they're running back in offensive line. It's big regression there. So they're an interesting team this season to me.
Hot take. Bill Belichick is the Cowboys coach next year. What do you think?
I could see that. He definitely sat out this year. It seems like he has a plan. And yes, I could see that for sure. And that'd be a fun landing spot too.
Also, producer Colin's always giving us great intel on the Cowboys, and he thinks the Dallas offensive line would be better than the consensus opinion is right now. So I do take that into consideration. You talk about frustrating situations, okay? Chargers, Harbaugh, Greg Roman, they ran the ball at Stanford. They ran the ball in San Francisco. They're going to try to run the ball with the Chargers, but their running back room, Gus Edwards, middle of his career. I know he's coming off a best season, but it's hard to see him duplicating that. He's a little bit dinged up right now. J.K. Dobbins has been hurt just about his entire NFL career. Fadal, the rookie, may not even make the team. Even Herbert's a little bit messed up. Is there a right answer in this Charger backfield? Is it an avoid? How are you playing things with the LAC?
I would just say this is a situation to monitor, given the things you said. Great offensive line, going to be run heavy team, a good quarterback, good coaching. Gus Edwards' age and leaving the Baltimore system. J.K. Dobbins coming off Achilles tear. Kamani Vidal was the guy I was after, but he might be cut. It looks like he's a real roster threat to not even make the team. Isaiah Spiller was apparently recruited by Harbaugh back in the day. And even beat writers are hyping Jarrett Patterson. So my answer is, pay attention to this. There's no obvious target right now, but don't be surprised if someone emerges in the Chargers backfield that is a really popular fantasy pickup at some point.
Which Charger back do you think you'll have the most shares of when we're at the end of draft season?
I already have a few Vidal that he's going to be an easy cut, an early cut. But I might warm up to Dobbins if he is looking. Sometimes you just got to trust in this. Maybe he is healthier than I expected, but frankly, I'm going to probably wait and pick up whomever emerges on the waiver wire a month from now.
it also may be a case of somebody's drafted and then cut. And then one of my favorite things to do in October when it's bye week season and people start making cuts because they need to win. They're 1-4. They can't afford to mess around anymore. As you start picking up players that other managers can't be patient with. And maybe this is a case where, yeah, I want to find a right answer with the Chargers, but maybe I'll find it in the middle of the season. Maybe I won't find it on draft day. Maybe I don't feel comfortable enough stepping into that snake pit. Speaking of snake pits, the Panthers offense last year, just a mess. Bryce Young looked over his head. Oh my God, they took him over CJ Stroud. Young did beat Stroud head to head in a pretty ugly game, but really a lost situation for him. But now here's Dave Canales, who got Geno Smith cooking 2 years ago. He got Baker Mayfield going last year. Maybe he can make Bryce Young competent. Maybe this makes this a playable offense. Now, Jonathan Brooks was the first running back taken in the draft, coming off knee surgery. We don't know exactly when he'll be ready to play. Chuba Hubbard's kind of just a guy, but maybe it's decent projectable volume for Hubbard. How are you playing the Panthers backfield? You're willing to wait and see on Brooks, or you know, maybe Hubbard's a play for today pick. What do you think's going on in Carolina?
I'm going after Brooks. I know it's going to require patience, but he compared favorably to Bijan and a lot of the stats as Texas is starting running back. Canales plans to run the ball heavily, and I just like the system Carolina's going to have this year so much more than last year. Hubbard was the fantasy RB9 over the final 7 weeks last year, which points to the upside that Brooks may possess, even though we think Carolina isn't going to be any good. But also Hubbard, maybe I'm giving him not enough credit, and he will stick around and be more involved than I expect him to, because I expect the rookie to just be unleashed over the second half and be a real difference maker, because Canales, he's going to want to run the football. He's their guy. And Brooks was the best running back in this class easily. He would have gone multiple picks earlier if he was not returning from this surgery. So I'm a Brooks guy.
It's not that I'm pounding the table here, but I think I'll have Hubbard shares before I'll have Brooks shares, just because I think there'll be boring value here. And because Carolina isn't going anywhere, maybe that just leads to them being a little bit more patient with Brooks. And then when he comes back, you need the prove it week. Maybe he's on a pitch count right away. When is he actually playable? Brooks is a guy I can't wait to draft next year. But this year I'll probably be a little bit slow to that. Speaking of which, the Cleveland situation is a little bit similar, right? Nick Chubb, major injury. We're not sure when he's coming back. Better team here. Jerome Ford is the starter for now. We'll see. I know there's been some, Chubb's lifting all these weights and he's quasi-healthy. He's a long way away from playing. What's your take on this wait-and-see situation in Cleveland?
Yeah, I'm a little below market on Nick Chubb, about five spots behind him on ECR. Have not been drafting much of him. Yeah, just what a beast in watching him do those squats and rooting for him. One of the best running backs in the league when healthy. Love Nick Chubb, but that's a tough one. If you have IR slots, Yahoo, fine. I mean, go for it there, but it's going to be tough because, yes, I'm with you. I do not expect him to be helpful on your fantasy squad until the second half of the year at best.
I think it's the first time I've ever gone into a draft where I don't want to draft Nick Chubb. And I just saying that kind of stings my heart a little bit, but I think it's the right call. So Sean Payton, offensive designer we like, but they could not get the running game going last year. Good for Cortland Sutton, because it seems like every time they scored a touchdown, it was a touchdown pass to Sutton, but they couldn't run the ball at all. There's a lot of names there. I don't even want to list all of them. Is there anybody on the Broncos in their backfield who's caught your eye?
Yeah, it's going to be a committee, but Javonte Williams, I'm warming to. So many conflicting reports from this team and a lot of rosy reports from different running backs on this squad, all the way down to Blake Watson. McLaughlin is just, I believe, too small of a back to be too much to take too many touches. And the running backs in the Sean Payton system simply get targeted the most of any team in the league. So I think there's some upside there with Williams returning from his second year after multi-ligament surgery. We wanted to avoid him last year because he was coming off this major surgery. So a year removed from that, maybe he will go back to those broken tackle numbers that we all liked previously. So yeah, I'm not like targeting Javonte Williams, but I'm warming to him and moving him up. And I think he's the clear, clear guy to go after in Denver's backfield. He's my RB29, and I'll move him ahead of Zamir White as we're talking right here. So I'll move him to 28 ahead of Zamir White.
You feeling any estimate at all?
I know that some people like him, but no, I'm going after Williams and I'm letting the P. Ryan, Estime, and McLaughlin guys battle it out.
Okay, last one. I didn't have this originally on the script, but Pittsburgh's got two backs. Harris is the established veteran. Warren is the more exciting younger player. Obviously, Arthur Smith loves to run to set up the run and then maybe run a little bit more. What is your stance in Pittsburgh?
I don't have a strong take here. I get why some people would want to take Jalen Warren over the more boring Najee Harris, but in half PPR, I have Harris ranked five spots over Warren, and I could see that flipped in full PPR if you wanted. But I think they're going to run the football a lot, and I'm targeting George Pickens, assuming Ayuk doesn't end up there. Then that changes things. But I think Arthur Smith's going to run the ball a ton, and both running backs are going to have their weeks, and it'll be frustrating, but they're both going to end up top 30 guys.
Yeah, another case of when you can reduce the backfield down to two guys, they both become playable. And I think Harris is kind of a boring veteran at this point. I know they didn't pick up his option, so he's basically on a lame duck contract, final season. But it doesn't mean he can't get a ton of touches. And maybe just because Warren's more explosive and more efficient on a per-touch basis, I think Harris still has more touchdown equity. I think it's going to be a case of people are going to be driven crazy, a little bit like the Zeke Pollard thing 2 years ago, where it's like, Warren's better, he should start, and Harris is going to have just as good of a fantasy season. You're probably thinking, segments could come to a close. You're probably thinking, what's going on in Washington? Well, Dalton likes one of the backs there as a sleeper. We'll save that to the next segment. We need a break right now. When we get back, we're going to wrap this up with sleepers, late-round targets, our elevator pitch at the running back position. Stay with us, Yahoo Fantasy Forecast. All right, final segment of the running back preview, Yahoo Fantasy Forecast. Scott Pienowski, Dalton Del Don. Sleepers, late round guys to target. I know that word is a little bit differently defined by everybody, but Dalton, give us a sleeper who has percolated onto your draft board.
I think Brian Robinson's going to smash his ADP. They're going to be quick tempo in Washington. Daniels is going to open up running lanes. He's good at football. I'm rooting for Eckler to have a nice bounce back campaign, but I love B-Rob. I'm going to just throw some deeper ones at you rapid fire, P&L, because my coming out with my undrafted running backs, so I might as well throw them at you. Damian Pierce on Houston has emerged as the backup there. Yes, he wasn't good last year, but he impressed as a rookie. I mean, if he does become the lead back, if Mixon were to go down in that offense, fantasy difference maker. Mentioned Jordan Mason. Braylon Allen, let's talk about on the Jets. Scored 35 touchdowns over 35 games in college. Put up big line as a 17-year-old freshman in Wisconsin. There's no one behind Breece Hall. We talked about the Jets massively improving their offensive line. Maybe have the best roster in football. So Braylon Allen is one play away from being like a top 15 fantasy back. Jalen Wright in Miami, another one too there. Behind just Mostert and Achan. Actually, it's like fourth or fifth of the depth chart now, but boy, the rookie impressed in his preseason debut, and he could be a fantasy difference maker if a couple injuries go wrong for Miami.
Love those calls. Obviously, in Miami, I mean, most of you said 32. Achan's always had injury concerns. And with Pierce and Allen, I mean, they're both – this isn't always easy to tell, but they just both appear without question the first option if the starter's not available. And Pierce – okay, he got hurt last year. He kind of got into a funk, and then Singletary was running well, and they didn't want to mess that up. So I think people are like, oh, Damian Pierce isn't good. He was a fluke, whatever. Damian Pierce is a pretty good football player. And Allen, as you mentioned, was a monster at Wisconsin. And sometimes we look at those Wisconsin backs a little skeptically because their lines are always good. And, they're getting so much yardage before contact, but the Jets are going to offer that too. And he's the clear plug and play. He will be such a knife fight if Breece Hall gets hurt. Why not get out in front of it in medium and deeper leagues and get Allen on your roster right now? I like Zach Moss earlier, as I said. Maybe he's not a home run pick, but maybe he can hit a double. It's mostly because I think Chase Brown is a little bit overrated. And I know Blake Corum's kind of obvious, but we both don't really trust Kyren Williams and not where he's going in drafts anyway. And they drafted Corum third round, which is pretty early for a running back, given where they go in the draft these days. That market's totally changed. NFL views that position differently. And Blake Corum's another guy. He's getting drafted in every league. And I bet if he doesn't do a lot in September, April for that matter, he'll get dropped. Or people will throw him into trades cheaply. I would love to be in on the second wave of Blake Corum. That might be the sweet spot to get invested there.
Yeah, Corum scored a ton of touchdowns in Michigan. If Kyren Williams' extensive injury history, he's my running back I've been fading. Mm-hmm. Corum would be the guy. And with that offensive line, if that offense stays healthy, he could be a top 10 fantasy back if he takes over the Rams' starting job.
So you mentioned Williams as one of your fades. Try to think of another one. I'll just mention quickly my guys. Kamara gave a big speech about why I don't want to draft him. I think he's I could see him having the Austin Eckler season, where he just hits the wrong pocket and it really, really collapses. and Eckler collapsed with nothing behind him, right? Because you might say, well, Kamara can't collapse. Who's going to take his job? Sometimes a player just loses the efficiency. It doesn't matter anyway. And I can't – Jamar Gibbs is dinged up now, so it's maybe easier to fade him, but I was fading him at ADP. Just don't like any given week. It could be the Montgomery show. He's not going to have the most rushing touchdowns on this team, I don't think. So I'm not comfortable. Again, you know, you mentioned Achan being a similar player going around later. There are two guys I'm unlikely to draft this season.
Another guy I'll mix it up here instead of talking Kyren or Barkley. I'll say Rashad White I've been reluctant to click on. I think the loss of Canales there, I think Tampa Bay is going to take a step back. He's a good receiver as a running back, no question, but man, struggles as a runner. Bucky Irving, the rookie's kind of impressing there. I don't know. I just think White is a bit of a risk in an offense that's going to take a step back with the coaching change.
Think Irving is good enough to draft? Are you thinking more as a possible pickup in the early months?
Yeah, I'm putting him in there as a draftable guy. Yes, from the latest reports, it looks like he is emerging as the RB2. You know, like Marshawn Lloyd, you know, on the other hand, suffered that hamstring injury. I moved Bucky Irving above him and one of those rookie backs to target, sure.
And I'm afraid, Canales being out of town, I'm afraid this could hurt everybody. I'm afraid whatever he whispered to Baker Mayfield could be out the door. And that's why it's so frustrating when, and also reassuring, right? You look at Detroit, right? They kept Ben Johnson. You look at Houston, they kept, you know, Slowick. You know, it's just nice when they can keep the band together, or the teams that are, you know, the offensive mind is the head coach. So the Chiefs never have to worry because Andy Reid's always there, you know, and then he'll bring back Matt Nagy and, you know, let Matt Nagy do something. I don't know what it is. He's not going to call the plays, but I'm concerned there could be collapse in Tampa Bay. So Dalton, pretend it's the first week of September. We're comparing notes. We're sharing rosters. What running backs do you think you'll have the most shares of? Give us a couple of guys.
Yeah, I think Breece Hall I'm going to be willing to take above these other receivers in PPR leagues. So I do feel like I'm going to definitely be dependent on Hall and many teams. And James Conner, he's my quote-unquote dead zone running back target in that area this year. Normally, I'm not about 29-year-olds with a history of missing games. And I get it. Trey Benson was drafted, but he is not impressed. And you look deeper into his college numbers, this is going to be the Conner show until he gets injured. Yes, he'll probably miss hopefully just another three games this year. And then I think he could be a top five fantasy back when on the field. I mean, last year he scored the most fantasy points from week 13 on and finished with the third most rush yards over expectation behind only McCaffrey and Achan. And now this year they're adding Marvin Harrison, McBride, further development, Kyler Murray, another year off knee surgery. I get it. Connor's a boring old veteran, but man, a three down back in this Arizona offense we're all excited about. Give me James Conner in round six. I'll be doing that very frequently in drafts this year.
They'll probably play at a faster pace this year. And it could be, Adam Levitan was talking about them maybe being a carnival team, playing in a lot of shootouts, but that also can lead to running back production. I think getting somebody in that backfield makes a lot of sense. I talked about all of these guys earlier, so they don't really need a refresher, but Pacheco, Singletary, Bijan Robinson, Derrick Henry, I expect they'll be overweight on all those guys. And obviously they go in different slots. If you get a late pick, you probably can't get Robinson. There's certain slots in the second round or third round that might not make sense for Henry, which is all the more reason, by the way, to play salary cap or an auction format. I wrote a piece about that this week. I hope you check it out. It's one of my favorite formats, and I think it covers a lot of strategies if you're new to the format or even if you're an experienced salary cap player. I hope you check that out. All right, Dalton, elevator pitch, 15 seconds. What is your kind of go-to advice or go-to strategy as we think running backs in 2024?
You'd rather be behind in running back than behind in wide receiver. It just depends on what league you're in and what draft pick you get. You can win with any strategy of drafting the running back position this year. I truly believe that. I think you can wait and go zero RB and attack the wide receivers. And I'm also perfectly fine with even grabbing a couple running backs. So I think you can win either strategy this year, really depending on format and how your league drafts.
I do love being flexible, being pliable, and I'm open-minded to different strategies. I will probably go with a hero or anchor running back build. And I'm not going to probably get insurance. I want to get the insurance or handcuffs for other people's running backs. I think fantasy football, you want to play for the big inning early. It's like baseball. You want to play for a big inning early. And then later, when the winning scenario is more specific, then you can bunt. Then you can play for the small inning. Maybe one run wins the game. I want to get the most dynamic roster I can in the first couple of months. And then I'll think about insuring my backs in the second half of the year. I think taking them in the summer is a minus EV play. That's going to do it today for our running back primer. Hope you got some good intel. Get ready to dominate fantasy football's most important position. One last note. want to tell you about. Sign up for Yahoo Fantasy Football League right now if you haven't already. I mean, hey, you're listening to this podcast. Football's your thing. Fantasy's your thing. Let's get you in the winner's circle. And we got another great reason to sign up with Yahoo Fantasy. So Yahoo Sports and NBC are teaming up for a $1 million sweepstakes. It's how you enter. You sign up for a private Yahoo Fantasy Football League and draft your team. If any of the players that you start score a touchdown in the week one games on NBC and Peacock, there's three of those, by the way, six really good offenses, you'll earn bonus entries into the sweepstakes. Each person can earn up to eight entries, one for just signing up, and up to seven from the touchdown scored in those three NBC Peacock games. The deadline for entries is September 5th. Please visit yahoo.com/fantasymillion to join. So tomorrow, position preview rolls on with the glamour receivers. It's such an exciting position for fantasy. My early draft builds are going to have a lot of receivers. You're going to want to audit this position very closely. Until then, for Dalton, for Matt Harmon, who's not with us today, for producer Colin and all the great people behind the scenes at Yahoo Fantasy, I'm Scott Pianowski. Go draft a team. We're in the middle of draft season. We are out.